Man, what a sweet time of worship. Thank you all so much for being here today. Those of you who came were able to come to the picnic Wednesday night. I'm guessing you had a great time. It was fun. Thank you guys that grilled and cooked. Thank you guys so much. And for the rest of you who brought stuff, ooh, there's some good stuff. Good stuff. I often think I am just the protein guy, and I usually am until I see dessert. And then all bets are off. If you've heard me a few times, you probably know, because I probably have made too many references to, I love Westerns. I'm not huge, big fan of black and white Westerns, but I like most all of them. And there is a scene in many of the oldest Westerns, guys sitting at a bar with little shot glasses. You probably, if you've seen any of these, you probably remember. And somebody's going to make a toast. And they've got these little shot glasses, and they're full of grape juice. No, they're not. But they might be, because they were going to take the Lord's Supper. So, but these guys have their shot glasses filled with something. And one of them, old guy, probably sounds like he is half smashed or three sheets in the wind. And he goes, "Here's mud in your eye." You probably have heard that phrase, right? Here's mud in your eye. No? How old are you? Yeah. Okay. You got to remember, I've watched a lot of Westerns. Okay. Well, that's really the title of this message today. Here's mud in your eye. And it's kind of a in your face message that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 9. I want you to find that. I'm going to read it out loud, but you're going to see it on the screens, maybe on your Bible app, on your phone or whatever you might have today. But there's 41 verses, but it's all one story, okay? I'm not going to cherry pick it. We're going to read it all, because it's a great story. But I want to ask you a couple questions. When you see pain, when you see suffering, when you see injustice, when you see agony in someone's life, what do you think? Do you ever wonder what someone else is doing wrong? Does that ever come to your mind? You ever think somebody's parents messed up and this is now the result? If those thoughts have ever come to your mind, you are not alone. In fact, many times we all wonder if someone is to blame or we can punish someone for somebody else's misfortunes. That is a prevailing thought that comes through our brains. Good company, friends. You are guys that hung around for Jesus for 3 years, thought the exact same thing. I want us to follow along in the pages of Scripture from the book of John, chapter 9, verse 1 through 41. We don't often do that, but this is all one story. So we're going to read it, and it is literally the ninth chapter. This guy had some serious issues. In fact, he's had these issues since he was born. He was born blind. Now, whose fault was that? That's what I want to know. Whose fault was that? His mother maybe had been smoking something. His dad probably had given his mom some disease, right? Maybe his grandparents were boozers. Townspeople were probably thinking a lot of those thoughts and clearly judging, even if they didn't say it out loud. Well, in the words of my oldest grandson, Carson, he always says this to us, "Well, actually, Papa Clay," probably trying to correct something that I thought or said. So back to this story, did someone sin? Well, actually, no. They didn't. I want us to read it together. You don't have to read it out loud, but it starts with, and it's referencing Jesus, and it says, "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth." Remember this. His disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was actually born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, Jesus said, we must do the work of him who sent me. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word actually means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging ask, isn't that the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claim that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Big problem, right? Big problem. Jesus evidently doesn't know the law because he wrote it. Therefore, the Pharisees also ask him how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others ask, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Well, that was a shock. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Oh, they're going next level here. Is this your son? They ask. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be excommunicated from the synagogue, kicked out of church. The modern phrase, although we don't use that phrase much anymore, the modern phrase was, they churched them. That was why his parents said, they were afraid, they said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said, we know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they ask him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? I'm not so sure he was being real serious at that moment. Then they began to hurl insults at him and they said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't even know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they threw him out, and when he found him again, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believed," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment, I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this, and they asked, "What? What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." That's a lot of verses, but it's a really cool story, isn't it? Honestly, I've read that like many of you, maybe most of you, cursory times and kind of overview. But when I read it like that, I begin to see things I'd never seen before. Amazingly enough, just like the man born blind from birth. There are a couple things I'd like for us to see this morning. We're not going to be here very long, I promise you. That's the longest part of the message. First, obviously Jesus was moved by this man's issue. Jesus saw the man. He went to the man. Jesus did not even ask the man if he wanted to be healed. Now, that's not always the way Jesus worked. Sometimes he said, "Do you want to be well?" This man, he didn't even ask him. I think that's kind of a big deal. The guy had lived in darkness all his life, and he was not asking to be healed. Jesus did something that the man needed, even though he wasn't asking. Sometimes Jesus will do that in your life. Either you didn't know to ask, you were tired of asking, you were humiliated to even ask, but Jesus knows what you need before you ask. And in this case, Jesus stopped in his tracks, went to the man, and without asking, healed him of his blindness. You see, this guy had no idea what it meant to be able to see. His physical condition was every bit as hopeless as if he had no eyes at all, no hands, no arms. He was a beggar. He had to be supported in everything he did, every place he went, by other people. And Jesus was kind of in a hurry. This is a big moment. You may remember parts of this when Pastor Dan preached out of the book of Mark. Jesus was kind of in a hurry in this moment. Right before this, Jesus had just told those Jewish leaders that these guys were sons of the devil and that he was greater than Abraham. Oh man, talk about two major big deals. First of all, you really ticked them off. Told the Jewish leaders they were sons of the devil. Okay, the next thing he said was, "Oh, and by the way, you're like quoting Moses. By the way, I'm greater than Abraham." How do you like that? Father of Israel. Ooh. Man, Jesus really knows how to tick people off, doesn't he? Evidently, I know how to do that too. Maybe you do too. Maybe people in your life said, "You know, you really make me mad." I can check that one off my box. Did that today. If that's your to-do list, Jesus might have a word for us. You see, those guys that he said were sons of the devil, and that he was better and more popular and bigger and stronger and a lot more important than Abraham, those guys, they were ticked and they began picking up stones. Jesus was in a hurry. So Jesus approached the man, kind of in a hurry, could have bypassed him. The guy wasn't calling to him, didn't ask to be healed. Jesus approached the man and gave him what he needed to see, and then he moved on. Now, this is a big deal. Jesus didn't stay around. He didn't wait for the outcome, like he didn't know what the outcome would be. You ever read scripture like that? It's like, now, why didn't Jesus wait to see if he got healed? He already knew. God is sovereign. He knows what was before, and he also knows what's going to happen in the future. Jesus already knew the outcome. He knew exactly what would happen if the man responded in faith, and he knows exactly what will happen if you respond to him in faith. Did you know that this is the only time in the entire Bible where a person who was born blind was healed by the power of God? That's kind of a big deal. Glad that John included this in his gospel. You know, Jesus peeps, his bros, his squad, those disciples that hung with him, just couldn't let this opportunity slip by. They were just like you and I. And we usually see things like that and we wonder about the age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people? You know how many times we ask that question, at least internally? All the time. And then usually a follow-up question that doesn't always come out loud, but sometimes it does. Who sinned? I bet God's getting them. I'll bet that's one of those generational sins. I'll bet you somebody in their family did one of those things. Those disciples, they're just like we are. If God is a good God and all-powerful, why on earth would God allow a person to be struck down with such a problem? Well, according to the pattern of this day and ours, it's easy to understand if this guy had been despicable, a despicable person. Now, that I understand, okay? You look at a guy and you're like, okay, that guy, maybe not his parents, but that guy, he's worthless. He's despicable. Of course God's going to strike him down. You see, that's kind of how our emotional brains begin to work. I can understand if he was despicable. Punishment would have been deserved. But this guy was blind from the very beginning, before he had a chance to do anything on earth wrong. How did Jesus respond to that? Probably the same way he does to us. Jesus could have. I want you to remember these. Jesus could have explained that God is perfectly good and all-powerful. This world that he made had been corrupted by man's disobedience. Jesus could have done that. This world is a crooked place, a broken place, filled with sin and harmful people. Jesus could have said that. That second point, questions, questions, questions. We've all got them. Sometimes we even ask them out loud. You ever try to make sense out of some of those questions you're thinking on the inside? I mean, think about this. Jesus could have explained that, yes, there are situations in which the sin of the parent brings pain or grief or sickness on a child. Jesus could have done that. Jesus could have said any or all of that. He could have explained that all suffering is not alike. He could have said there are no pat answers. Do you hear some of the things we say in that? Jesus could have said that. Suffering has a place. My dear brother, suffering has a place in God's plan for our life. Jesus could have said that. It is true, by the way. Jesus didn't say that. Can you believe it? Jesus missed the most incredible moment of opportunity to preach a message that would have helped the rest of us the rest of our lives. Not a word. Not a word of exclamation. That's easy for me to say. Explanation. Would have gone down in history as one of the most powerful, penetrating analysis of problems of pain ever spoken, but Jesus didn't do it. All we have is what he said. And right now, it's enough. Right now, in this situation, is an opportunity. Jesus said, an opportunity for God, my Father, to be glorified. An opportunity to show what God can do. That's all Jesus said. No other explanation. Now, that doesn't answer all the questions, does it? Because when I hear statements like that, I'm like, okay, I got 14 questions to follow that. Maybe that's the way you live. I do. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't answer all those questions. He said, in this moment, at this moment, this is why. Case closed. You see, when we face pain, when we face tragedy, when we face sickness, natural disaster, we might be able to discern. We might. Why this is happening. You might even be able to lay blame on somebody else. You may even be able to somehow see the hand of God in it. You may or you may not. This may simply be the opportunity that God has chosen to work in his way, the way he chooses to, at the speed he has planned to bring glory to himself. And the rest of us are sheep, and he's the shepherd. Let's be careful we don't mix that up. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. John chapter 10 says, the sheep know his voice, and they follow him. You don't hear real sheep asking questions, do you? I don't know what that would sound like. I'll bet you could tell. They don't ask questions. They do what the shepherd says to do. Many of us may not think that it's right for this guy to be born blind his whole life simply to let God have his moment. That seems a little cruel, don't you think? A little bit? Oh my gosh, we don't really know how long he's been born. We don't know how old this guy is. But let's just say he's 30. Don't you think that's a little weird to wait 30 years just so God could do something in this moment? Some of us have those same kind of questions about our life. God, thank you, but man, couldn't you have done this about 15 years ago? Where were you then? There's a story in the Old Testament about a guy named Job. I do love that story, and I hate that story all at the same time. I want to be found faithful like Job was, but I don't want to lose everything in my life. Not to prove it. What God said to his servant Job, when Job started saying, "Why are you allowing all this, God? I've served you my whole life. I've done everything I know to do. I've been faithful. All this pain, all this agony, all this loss," God turns it around on its ear, and he asked this question of Job. You may remember it. Where were you, little Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? The truth is, it doesn't matter whether I agree with God and his ways. Jesus made it clear, when bad things happen, it's not necessarily a punishment. Now, that's somewhat of a relief for me. Maybe it is for you. Maybe it is. I'll tell you something else. It ought to be a little bit of a relief about the judgment I feel about other people. How quickly do we see something wrong and think we know why? The final thing I want you to notice about this story is that Jesus implies that we're all better off to be blind and know it than to think we have sight and really be blind. Think about that twist. That is a paradox. Real quickly. Listen, Jesus implies that we are all, every one of us, we're better off to be blind and know it than to think we have sight and really be blind. You see, the Bible teaches us that God will give sight to those who know they need it. But those who don't think they need it, they're in real trouble. When this guy who was blind since birth was given sight, he was telling and testifying of the one he knew as he knew him. You see, he didn't know much about Jesus at all. I'm not sure, we don't know, if he'd even heard about him until this moment. But he knew him as he knew him, at the level he was capable. I think that tells us something pretty powerful about how God operates with our lack, miniature, or great faith in our life. He responds to faith. If it's the seed of a mustard, or if it's great faith, God responds. When this guy who was blind since birth was given sight, he was telling and testifying of the one he knew as he knew him. He obviously thought a lot of Jesus, who he didn't even know yet was Jesus. I think that's really cool. He thought a lot about Jesus before he even knew he was Jesus. As Jesus revealed more of himself to this guy, look at what Scripture says was the man's response. He worshiped. He worshiped. His response was, "Oh God, you are everything. You are my all in all. You are the one true living God. Jesus, you're more than I ever expected. You're even more than I thought I needed." He worshiped Jesus. You see, that's a turning point. And it really is in our life as well. In the middle of your greatest pain, the agony of soul, what do you turn to? Who do you look at? And what does your heart say? This is the moment, the point when the man who was formerly blind sees with his heart, not just with his eyes. Early on, the guy did the best he could on his own understanding to those religious leaders about what Jesus did. But once he really knew Jesus, once he saw him with his heart, when he saw him with his heart, he worshiped him for who he was, not just what he could do for him. It's a great story, no doubt about it. I love it. It's a great story. One of the best, I think, in all the New Testament. Because when I read it again this week, I read it with next level understanding for me. Now, I may not been able to help you at all with any of that, but I see it differently now. I understand it differently. It's a story about physical blindness, yes, but more important than that, spiritual blindness. Jesus touched the man and healed his physical blindness. Some of us have prayed and would have settled 100 times over for just one of those little miracles on earth, wouldn't we? Oh God, just would you do it now? Would you do it now? Sometimes we settle for temporary physical healing when Jesus has so much more planned, prepared, in mind for you. I'll tell you, that may change the way we pray. I kind of like to start praying differently for physical pain. I would. Not sure I will, but I think I would. But as always, Jesus gave the man physical sight so that the eyes of his heart could see him as God, as the one who could heal his heart. Eyesight, cool. Very cool. Heart, bigger. Heart, more important. You see, the heart is going to live forever. Ooh. The eyes would one day grow dim. Maybe even develop cataracts, night blindness, or glaucoma. Some of you are struggling with some of those things. Maybe all of them. But the heart got healed, forgiven, and restored. And that's forever. This man got both. I'd like for you to just bow with me just for a moment. I wonder this morning if either your personal pain, agony, disappointment has driven you to Jesus or within yourself. I know both outcomes in me, and one of them I absolutely hate. But one of them is absolute freedom and joy. In right where you are, in whatever words you want to use, why don't you ask God to show you, is there an area in your life that God absolutely wants glory out of your pain? He wants understanding. And maybe all you've asked for is relief. This might be a really good time to say, Lord, I want to worship you in the middle of my pain. I want to worship you in the middle of my discomfort, my disappointment, my agony. I want to worship you because you alone get the say over my life. Whatever answer he gives you, you'll know what to do. That I can assure you. So would you settle for temporary relief when Jesus is offering so much more for you? Father, we just give you thanks today simply because you used a simple story, yet it's so unbelievably powerful. It's crystal clear about what you did, how you did it, what you didn't say, what you did say. God, I just want to tell you, I want that to be enough for my life. If you don't give me an answer, I want to worship you anyway. If you don't give me relief, I want to worship you anyway. My life is on display, God, before you and before the world. God, I want to worship you until the pain is healed by the touch of the Master's hand. And until that day comes, God, I will worship you alone. I will stop retreating into myself. I will trust that your ways are not just best. They're better than anything else. We love you, Father. We thank you, God, for what you have done to prove your ways, your love, and at times, Lord, even the things you don't say. We trust you. Help us trust you more. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And everybody together said, amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for being here today.